2 Peter chapter 1, if you would please. 2 Peter chapter 1, speaking this morning about our like precious faith. 2 Peter chapter 1, let's begin reading in verse 1. Simon Peter, the servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith. Is it precious to you this morning? Paul writing to these believers scattered throughout Asia Minor. He says, we got this like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust, and beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind, and cannot see afar off, and forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. My, what a condemnation that is. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them, and be established in the present truth. As I mentioned, he writes about this like precious faith. And I want to explore that just a little bit this morning. When I was, I went to Alfred State College up in Alfred, New York. Actually, the Wellsville campus is what I graduated from in automotive technologies. Upon graduation, I immediately went to work for the County Highway Department in the county which I grew up as a mechanic. And the foreman at the highway department also had a small trucking business on the side. It consisted of a half-ton short-bed Chevy pickup. But we did deliveries for Sears on the night and weekends, appliances and so forth. And once in a while, they take on a moving job as well. There was this one weekend, I don't remember when it was exactly, but I'll never forget the incident. This little old lady was moving, I think, into a smaller home or apartment or something, and we were moving her, and we got on the job site, and we came to meet the lady, and she looked at me, and at that time, of course, my hair was down to my shoulders, and she says, "Aw, isn't he precious?" And my foreman looked at me, and I knew that was not going to be the end of that. For some time at work, afterwards, my nickname was Precious. Now, you might debate the appropriateness of that term being applied to me, but you can't debate the appropriateness of applying it to Jesus Christ and our faith in him. Precious. How precious it is. Precious means of great value or high price. Highly esteemed. Cherished. Now you can laugh about applying it to me, but man, it applies here. Precious faith, he says. What we have in Jesus Christ, The salvation that he's given us through him. Precious. But I'm afraid all too often, and I'm probably as guilty or more as anybody, we take it for granted. We don't hold that as dear and as precious to ourselves as we should. And Peter concluded in the passage that I ended with here. He says in verse 12, "Wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, that though we know them and be established in the present truth." First, I want you to see this. This precious faith was obtained by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Go back to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. Begin reading in verse 3 here. He says this, Peter writing to the same people, this strangers scattered abroad, Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia. He says in verse 3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time." I mean, that's how precious all that we have given us through Jesus Christ is. Drop down to verse 18. 1 Peter 1, verse 18. "For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers." In the discussion this morning in Sunday school, it was about Seth had brought up the church that he was brought in, raised in, and Gary as well. Vain traditions. Not even knowing that there was a salvation available in a Christian church. That's sad. What a treasure, and it's not even mentioned. Or if it is, it's in such a way that it doesn't connect. He says, man, we're not redeemed by those things. Verse 19, "but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." Our precious faith is obtained through the precious blood of Jesus Christ. As he hung upon that cross and the nails pierced his hands and his feet and the sword pierced his side, it says the blood gushed out. That precious blood. For the purpose of paying the price for our sins. He bought me. I'm saved. Because of what Jesus Christ did for me. He washed me from his sins by his precious blood. Keep your finger here and go to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. Look at verse 14. "In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins." Look at Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, verse 9. Romans 5, 9. "Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him." You know, we're studying Daniel on Sunday evenings. We're talking about the 7-year tribulation period, that time that's coming in the future for us after the Lord calls us out of here in the rapture. And then all those things begin to unfold that's spoken of in Matthew chapter 24 and in Daniel and in Revelation. That's the time of God's wrath being poured out upon this earth. I'm going to escape that. Amen. Because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. That has washed away my sins. He saved me from that wrath. I don't have to fear that. I don't have any fear of that whatsoever because of him. Go to Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9. Verse 12. Hebrews 9 verse 12, is we've talked several times recently about the book of Hebrews, and it's comparing Jesus Christ to everything about the Old Testament. Angels and the law and the priesthood and the tabernacle, and shows how much better Jesus Christ is than that. And he's speaking here of the sacrifices. Hebrews 9:12, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. That blood that was shed, that blood that was poured out, and somehow, and I can't explain it, I don't understand how it all works, but somehow God, the Jesus Christ, then when he rose from the grave, he took that blood and he applied it to the mercy seat in heaven. And that was the payment, the final payment for my sins. You had that picture of that thing in the Old Testament where once a year the high priest alone could go into the Holy of Holies and apply the blood to the mercy seat on the Day of Atonement. And it said that if he was not properly prepared when he went to do that, he died. It said that there was a rope tied around his foot that they could drag his carcass out of there if he died while in there unprepared. But they had to do that thing every year, repeating that sacrifice. On top of the sacrifices that he did every day, there was an evening and a morning sacrifice every day, and many other sacrifices beyond that. But it says all those things were a picture. All those things were temporary. It didn't finish the job because they had to repeat the process over and over and over again. But one time, the precious blood of Jesus Christ was taken to heaven and placed on that mercy seat. Again, he says, verse 12, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if by the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of an heifer sprinkling unclean sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? That precious blood is how our precious faith is obtained. The blood of Jesus Christ. I've trusted in that. I'm saved. My sins are forgiven. My soul is cleansed. And I'm now made fit to go to heaven. Look back at 2 Peter chapter 1 again. Second Peter chapter 1, verse 1. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. It's not through church membership. It's not through baptism. It's not through good deeds. It's the righteousness of Jesus Christ that allows that blood to be applied to my account. My faith is precious because of that precious blood. Now I want you to see what it's precious for all that it includes. Look at verse 2 here in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2. It says, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and our Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. All things that pertain to life and godliness. Now, I don't have the time this morning to expand on all these things. I'm briefly touching them, but think about this. The first thing is the abounding grace toward us. The grace of God. There are two things that play a part in our salvation. The first thing is mercy. Mercy and grace are not the same thing. They're counterparts. Mercy is not getting what I deserve. You stand before a judge and you hope for mercy. And we hope for mercy from God, that I don't receive all that I deserve. And through the blood of Jesus Christ, I won't. Amen. Grace, on the other hand, is receiving what I don't deserve. And His grace abounds to us. It speaks about the riches of His grace in Ephesians chapter 1 and chapter Ephesians 1, 7 and chapter 2 and verse 7. Riches of His grace. All the things that God gives to me, just because He loves me. And because I've been partaker of that precious blood of Jesus Christ. It's amazing. I mean, you can't even begin to comprehend all of it. Peter talked about some of it here, but it doesn't begin. Let me go on here. There's the peace. He spoke of it here. Grace and peace multiplied to you. So not only is God's grace, not only all the things that God gives me that I don't deserve, but there's that peace. First, the peace with God. Because of the precious blood of Jesus Christ, I'm no more an enemy of God. Without Jesus Christ, if you're not saved this morning, you are His enemy. You're set at cross purposes with God. And you're destined for an eternity in hell. And that precious blood has washed away my sins. And His grace has now made me a child of the King. I'm accepted in the Beloved, Ephesians tells us. I have peace with God. But I also have access to the peace of God that passeth all understanding, as it says in Philippians 4:6, to keep our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. You know what? This world doesn't know what peace is. And not only in the military conflict setting, but just to be able to point your toes toward heaven at night and close your eyes and go to sleep. I mean, there's not a person here that doesn't have troubles, right? It might be health, might be financial, might be children, parents, whatever the case may be. Everybody's got some troubles. It's sitting right here this morning. But we've got a God that says, come unto me, all you labor and heavy laden. I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly of heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. God says, I want to give you rest. I want you to have peace. Jesus said, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. And our struggle is to cast those burdens upon the Lord, that He will sustain us. And then we can have that peace of God, passing all understanding. That even though we've got a pile of bills to pay and medical problems we might be facing, you say, God, I know it's all right between you and I. I'll see you in the morning. And sleep like a baby. Peace of God. That's a blessing, folks.
Amen.
That's available to us. Our precious faith. Then there's a victory we have through Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 15:57. Thanks be to God which giveth us the victory. I've read the last chapter. I know how it ends. And even though there might be some difficulties between now and then, I know how it ends. And God wins. And since I'm God's, I'm on the winning side. Thank God, which giveth us a victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 8 says we're more than conquerors through him that loved us. Then, look at 1 Peter chapter 1 again. 1 Peter chapter 1. Verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. A lively hope. It's not just something empty. It's not just something that's maybe just out of our reach. The hope that we have is real. It's just not realized yet. There's no uncertainty about the fulfillment of it. A lively hope we have by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. As sure as that resurrection was, so is the hope that I have. Verse 4, 2, an inheritance, incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. God says, you know what? I've got something for you. When this is all done down here, and I bring you home, there's something reserved. It's there for me. An eternal inheritance. An uncorruptible inheritance. And beyond that, look at the next verse. Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Wait a minute. Who are kept by the power of God. My salvation's all of God's doing and none of mine. He purchased it with his precious blood to wash away those sins of mine, to give me that grace and that peace and that inheritance and that victory. But he says, on top of that, you don't have to worry about keeping yourself, because I got you. Kept through the power of God. God saved me. God keeps me. I can rest on that. My eternal life is in his hands. And go on, you think about the Holy Ghost that lives within us. And the fact that God is always attentive, listening for my prayer. Sometimes waiting a long time for it. And that's my fault, not his. He's listening. He's guiding. He's correcting. He's instructing. He counsels me. All these things that make our faith so precious. And it's an ongoing relationship. Our precious faith. Because of all it includes. And number three, this. It's built upon exceeding great and precious promises. Go back to 2 Peter again now in chapter 1. Verse 4 this time. Exceeding 2 Peter 1:4. Wherefore are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. The precious faith obtained by the precious blood of Jesus Christ, built upon precious promises. You know, our president kind of gets expressive sometimes when he talks. You notice that? But the Bible does the same thing. It's not just some real neat promises. Exceeding great and precious promises that we have available to us. Now wait a minute now. A promise. What's that mean? You got to claim it. If I promise to do something for you, you got to tell me when you need it done, right? You got to ask me. Hey, when you get ready to do that, when Brian and Christy get ready to move in, you know, we'll help you. We got to know to be able to help. God's got to know. He's waiting for us to ask. exceeding great and precious promises, he says, that by these, watch this, that you might be partakers of the divine nature. So what are the promises for? To help me to partake fully of what God has for me. Most of all, that divine nature. You think of Romans chapter 8, verse 28 and 29. Most of us probably can quote verse 28, but a lot of people ignore verse 29. Let's look at that. Romans chapter 8. Verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. God's working for my good in my life. But it's a purpose that He's working for. And that purpose is defined in verse 29. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. You know what God's purpose in our existence is? To conform us to the image of Jesus Christ. That's what He said here in chapter 1 of 2 Peter. Wherefore are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, conformed to His image. God wants me to be like Jesus Christ. God wants my life to reflect Him for the purpose of drawing others to Him. And that's what these divine promises are for. These exceeding great and precious promises are for, is to help me to be more like Jesus Christ than others can be reached with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Am I using those promises for that? For myself. See, a lot of times we get kind of selfish when we look at the scriptures. And it's all about me and how this is going to benefit me. And God says, no, I want your life to benefit me. My purpose for existing is to glorify Him, to bring honor and glory to His name. And this is a building process. Now, I'm not going to go through all these things here, but just go on and look at what He says here. Verse 5, and beside this, we're back in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5, and beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith. You've got that precious faith through the precious blood of Jesus Christ. But now, to build on that, we have some precious promises. And to, first thing, you take your faith, but then you need to put virtue with that. That's a moral character. I need to be a good person. Look again back in verse 3. He says, according as divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue. We Christians ought to be a good people. That's part of reflecting the character, the image of Jesus Christ. So he says, the first thing you need to do is put virtue in your life, adding to your faith virtue. Then, he says, to virtue, knowledge. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Increase in the knowledge of God, so that I can be more effective in my witness to others about Him. And so I can know the promises that He's given me, how I can be more effective in doing that. And then he says, and the knowledge, temperance, balance. You know, there's a lot of things that aren't bad in small quantities. How many of you know what Coumadin is? Somebody said it. It's rat poison. It's also used for treating heart problems. If you take it in the small quantity it's determined for the heart condition, it will be helpful and not harmful, if any medicine can be totally harmless, but that's beside the point. There's, you know, you weigh the benefits, right? But you're not going to take it in large doses. Balance. Temperance. A lot of things aren't bad as long as we keep the proper balance. That's a struggle we all have. Keep kind of unbalanced on something. And you know what? You know, truth is to be balanced with love. I listen to some guys on the radio and I think, man, I wouldn't want to sit in that congregation and listen to that all the time. Just screaming and ranting and raving and yelling at his congregation the whole time. Yeah. I love you folks. I want to be a blessing to you. I want to give you something that's going to help you and lift you up, not beat you down. Once in a while, maybe a good beating down is all right, but not all the time. Balance. Speaking the truth in love. To temperance, godliness. And to godliness, brotherly kindness. Man, sometimes even we Christians get kind of nasty with one another. He says, be diligent to add these things in your life. And to brotherly kindness, charity. I'm to love folks. Even the unlovely. Didn't Jesus do that? He was a friend of publicans and sinners. He cared. He cared so much that he died on the cross to pay the price for all of our sins. And we need to reflect him. He says, you need to build these things into your life. This is the thing that needs to be added. But then read on here now. Verse 8. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Man, I want my life to have made an impact on some people. I want to have made a difference in some people's lives. When I get to heaven, I hope that there's some people that will come up to me and say, thank you for telling me about Jesus Christ. Thank you for encouraging me to do right when I was starting to slip. Thank you. You know, there's a song, Thank You, Lord. And it talks about that very thing. That's what I want. Not to be barren and unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 9, but he that lacketh these things is blind, cannot see afar off, and forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. His faith wasn't precious. The blood of Jesus Christ wasn't precious. Just, oh yeah, I did that. Got it done. And went on and lived his life. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. God saved us for a purpose. Amen. That precious blood was shed for a purpose. And yes, for the salvation of our souls. But it doesn't end there. There's some things we need to add on that we can have that abundant entrance that he desires for us. That fullness of inheritance that's reserved for us up in heaven. When we were in Kansas, we homeschooled and we were a member of a homeschool support group. Covered quite a large area. We were probably the eastern edge of it. The center of it was about 60 miles west of us, but there are different things that we got together to do, but one of the things they started doing is they had a basketball team, and they did pretty good, especially the girls did pretty good. We'd go to tournaments at the end of the year down around McPherson, Kansas, sometimes Wichita, Salina, whatever. I remember one year, there were a couple of boys that went with us. One boy we wanted to come with us to play, and he wanted to bring a friend along with him. I had some reservations, and that should have been a warning enough right there, but it wasn't. And so these two kids came along with us, and their parents, you know, we stayed in a motel because we were down there for a couple of days. And parents gave them money for food and so forth. And we got down there, and after the second day, this one boy, who was a really good ball player, just lethargic, doing nothing. I thought, man, what's going on here? Well, I found out what was going on. They'd stayed up all night watching television in the motel room, and they spent all the money that he had on junk food, so he had nothing to eat that day because he spent all his money. Now you think, how ridiculous. You know, his parents had provided everything that he needed to be able to sustain himself, and here he wasted what had been given to him to help him to be productive for what he had the purpose for being there for, and he was no good. That's a picture of us sometimes. He's given us the precious blood, this precious faith, the precious, exceeding great and precious promises, and we waste it frivolously. And one day we're going to stand and give an account to that. Now, my salvation is based upon the blood of Jesus Christ, not on me. But my reward for all of eternity is going to be based upon what I've added. For so an entrance, if these things be in your mouth, that make you that you shall be neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. God's given us what we need. Don't waste it. Make your life count for Him for eternity. Let's stand, please, for prayer. Lord, first, if there's someone here this morning who has not trusted you as their Savior, God, what a tragedy it would be, first, that I would not give this opportunity, but second, that someone would miss it. Father, if there's someone here this morning who realizes that they never knew or they've never taken advantage of the salvation that's offered to them through Jesus Christ the Savior, may your Spirit speak to that heart to enlighten the eyes of their understanding, to bring them to the truth of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. God, if you're speaking to one about their need or their soul this morning, may they be willing to respond and receive from you the precious gift of eternal life through the precious blood of Jesus Christ and obtain this precious faith that you have available to them. Father, for the rest of us, help us, God, to labor faithfully. Oh, sometimes we get weary. Sometimes we get disgusted. Sometimes maybe we even get angry with you because things have not worked the way we think that they should. God, help us never to lose sight of the fact of how much you love us and care for us and all that you have provided for us. God, help us to give you more. To give you what you deserve, which is our all. To not waste this life, which you've given and which you've redeemed, on frivolous things, but to magnify and honor and glorify your precious name. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.